This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sports Radio 94 WIP, Tom Kelly and Dan Wilson with you on a Friday, filling in for the midday show. Now, is Dan, do you prefer Dan to be your hosting name, or can you still go by Buzz?
So my take on this has always been the same. I introduce myself. If someone says, like, what is your name? I'll say Dan Wilson, whatever. But Buzz has been made my nickname here in the station by you, by the afternoon show, by even people in the hallway here. I think the best nicknames are driven by other people. I think people who go around at like the king, for instance, who says I'm the king as opposed to I'm Howard. I think that's kind of lame.
Well, I didn't make it your nickname. I only call you Buzz because you said Buzz was your nickname.
No, Mike. Mike
Angelina told me to call
Mike
you Buzz.
Mike got wind of the fact that my nickname was Buzz.
And why do your friends call you Buzz, by the way?
Because I'm a buzzkill.
Oh, that's a rough nickname, man.
And I was given it in sixth grade. It's held. You want to talk about something that's aged well? The name Buzzkill. I would not have guessed that when someone gave me the name Buzzkill in 2009 that I'd be called that in the year 2024 on WIP.
Yeah, and hey, I mean, sometimes nicknames do just carry over, like unsolicited too. Like you said, it's not good when you tell people this is what
that's
my nickname
not genuine. That's not.
But my whole life, people have called me TK. I don't know if they're just initials that
cool
they
initials
go well
to
together.
They do.
Cool initials? Wow, you give me a compliment?
I am giving you a compliment. Like TK, like obviously Travis Konecny on the Flyers, like people call him TK. Tony Kornheiser for years on part of the eruption, they call him TK. Like I think TK goes better than like I'm not trying to
DW?
Well, even though
that's what Jody calls you, DW.
DW. Well, I used to when I was a really little kid. This is probably a little bit past your time. That's not an old joke. I'm just being serious here. The show Arthur, the annoying little sister, is named DW. So people in elementary school used to be like, oh, you're DW. Like, I haven't gotten that in a while. But that used to be a thing. But like, for instance, I'm not trying to rag on Fran here, but like FR doesn't exactly roll off the tongue.
Yeah,
you know
it's
what
horrible.
I mean?
No, I agree.
Like that,
yeah.
Those are horrible initials to say. TK, that sounds like a cool nickname.
Yeah.
Like JR Smith, that goes well together. You know what I mean? Like, there are certain initials that I think you can abbreviate, and that could be your name. You could just go by TK, and people will go with it.
Yeah, I get you. I just didn't know, like, if
you know,
as we're coming back from breaks and stuff, if I should refer to you as Dan or Buzz. I feel like Buzz is like your producing nickname, and Dan is your
is that
professional
right?
hosting name.
Whatever you want. Again,
okay.
It's driven by you.
Right.
People know me as both on the station. Sometimes I can tell. I'll pick up the phone like when I'm producing afternoons and they're at Chickie's, and they'll be like, hey, what's up, Jack? I'm like, oh, actually not Jack today. They'll be like, who is it? They'll be like, Dan. They'll be like, who? It'll be like, oh, it's Buzz. I'm like, oh, now I know. So sometimes I have to create the association for people, but I'm good with either.
There you go, Buzz. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Been talking about a number of topics today. Obviously, a lot of Eagles as a really big game on Sunday, and this is going to be an exciting game as the Eagles take on the Ravens. One of the premier matchups, I'd say not just this week, but in the NFL this year. It's going to be pretty exciting to see how the Eagles' defense can stack up against this Baltimore offense. I mean, they're number one offense in the league. They have put up points on pretty much everybody. You look at last week, that Chargers defense is damn good, and the Ravens were able to score. I think this is going to be a really good measuring stick of where this team is at this point. And I expect the Eagles to go down there and win the game. I know, Buzz, you are more of the thinking that, hey, if they win, great. But if you go down, you play hard, you have a good effort, we're going to be happy. Sunshines and rainbows on Monday.
Singing kumbaya, Tom.
No,
singing kumbaya, TK.
I expect the Eagles to go down there and win this football game on Sunday.
You're not even like a little nervous. You're not even like a little like trepidatious or thinking that you know they might have a difficult time winning this game.
A difficult time, sure, but I expect the Eagles to win. Like I think they are the better team than Baltimore. And when I look at the NFL right now, I think the Eagles are pretty much better than anybody. Like I really
do. So you expect them to just win every game they play?
The rest of the year, yeah, I do. So especially if they beat Baltimore, and I'm picking them to win this game. I don't think they lose another game on their schedule.
Are you willing to say, if you believe that, right here at 11:06 a.m. on November 29th, Black Friday, that you believe the Eagles will win Super Bowl 59?
I'm not going to guarantee a Super Bowl victory.
I'm not saying guarantee, but do you believe it'll happen if you think they're better than everyone?
I think they should go to the Super Bowl. I think they absolutely should go.
Well, you said they're better than anyone.
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
You're hedging now.
We'll see what happens. It does feel the Bills have the vibes on their favor. It feels like a Bills year.
So the Eagles are better than anyone, but the Bills have the vibes.
I think the Eagles and Bills are the two best teams in football right now. That's where I fall.
So that's going to be a tough week in the Macnow household.
Yeah,
if that happens.
And I'll tell you what, man. That's moving forward. I heard Rob and Devin talking a little bit today about the flex situations moving forward here. Weird situation when the Eagles play the Steelers, where Eagles Steelers and Bills Lions are both at 425. There's no way both
those
games stay there.
One of those games feels like it goes to Sunday night. And the Eagles have already been flexed out of Sunday night.
But the Sunday night game's Packers-Seahawks. That's not a bad game. So are you going to flex one of those games to like 1 o'clock to put it in a standalone time slot?
I don't know who, like, which networks have the games, one on Fox and one on CBS.
That's what I'm unsure of.
I can look into that really quickly. But I know the Eagles have already been flexed out of Sunday night this year, so that I know they definitely have an opening to be flexed back in. I can't remember the last time the Eagles, it would be actually quite amazing if the Eagles played this well. They're like the 2 seed in the NFC. I guess teams generally who win 13, 14, potentially 15 games don't usually end up on Sunday Night Football just once. Feels like at some point they're getting a second one.
Yeah, I'm sure they will at some point here. 215-592-9494. So you think the Eagles need to go down there and make a statement on Sunday? And Eagles versus Lions, is that was one of the big storylines yesterday, is watching the Detroit Lions kind of struggle to get past the Chicago Bears. Do you believe that the Eagles are the better team? And if they play an NFC Championship game in Detroit, would you expect the Eagles to win that game? I obviously would love the Eagles to get the 1 seed, love to get the bye, it would make things a lot easier. But I expect the Eagles to beat the Lions in Detroit if they play in the NFC Championship game. Buzz, you are not there yet.
I'm not there yet. I think this season, if you had to ask me the most likely scenario right now, I think there's a very good chance they end in the NFC Championship game. But it does feel, you want to talk about the vibes, like it feels like the Lions are the team to beat in the NFC.
There you go. And our side topic today, give us something that has aged well. As my kids, they're 3 years old and 2 years old. They are obsessed with The Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz was made in 1939. Yet even kids in the 2020s are still into Wizard of Oz. I can't think of another of something else like that. Like, what else is still relevant from the 30s? Nothing.
That's a tough one. I mean, how much pop culture still exists from the 30s? I don't know if I've seen another movie in the 30s. I don't know if I've heard a song that's that old.
And it doesn't need to be like pop culture related. It could be anything. I thought yours of Brandon Graham was a very good one. Something that's gotten better with age. So give us something that has aged well off of The Wizard of Oz. Let's go back to the phones here. Let's go to Keith in the Northeast. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Tom, Dan, how you guys doing?
Doing well, Keith. How about you?
Good, good. So, Tom, I got to bust your stones a little bit, and maybe you too, Dan. I'm getting tired of all this conversation about the Detroit Lions in the NFC Championship game. Let me give you guys a revelation. Detroit's not going to win their division. Detroit's not going to win their division. When you look at what their schedule is, they had the Packers, they had the Vikings, they had the Bills. And you look at the way they've been playing the last two games, I don't think Detroit's going to win their division.
Well, we'll see, Keith. I'll tell you what, man. I watched that game last night. Packers looked damn good last night.
That's my point exactly. And those are division games. That division is completely stacked. I don't think the Vikings are even out of it when you look at their schedule juxtaposed against what the Lions have to do. So, who the heck has crowned Detroit King of the Hill? I certainly haven't, and I certainly don't think that they're better than the Eagles long term. So I'm not convinced that the Eagles will necessarily be the number one seed. I still think one of the other Packers or the Vikings could still edge us out, but I'm certainly not handing it to Detroit.
Listen, if they don't win the division, then the Eagles probably do have the inside track of the number one seed, and they could probably do so even losing this game on Sunday. You lose this game on Sunday, you win out.
They have the, like, say if the Packers won the North, the Eagles would
have the tiebreaker on them. Direct. So it doesn't go to.
I get that. I'm just not convinced, considering how things are going to go, whether the Eagles will be, whether they're going to win out. I'm not certain of that. I'm of the mindset that this weekend, and I know you guys won't agree with me, I think this weekend, quite frankly, is a stress-free game. I really do. You look at the game, it's not a conference game. It's coming off a short week. If they go in there outside of getting blown out, I don't think my mindset about who the Eagles are going to change at all. So I think this is a game from a fan perspective that we can watch and just kind of really chill out and not put ourselves in a place where we need to, get the Pepto-Bismol out.
That was articulated well. My impression of who the Eagles are is likely not going to change on Sunday. It might take a step up. It might take like a bonus step up if they go down and win this game and make a statement. But if they lose a close game, like Tom, your confidence in the Eagles is going to appreciably lower if they lose this game.
Well, obviously, like it depends how it happens. But
I'm saying a close game,
right? I just hate going into a game thinking, if you lose it, it's no big deal. I think it is a big deal. You need to rack up all the wins you can to get this one seed.
We're not on the team. I'm not saying they should have this mindset in the locker room.
I'm talking
us as fans, as hosts.
Perspective, right.
I still don't have that mindset. Yeah. What do you have for a side topic, Keith?
I don't know whether you guys will think this is more tradition than anything, but when you look at what the options are today and you look at what eating habits are, how in the heck has Thanksgiving turkey survived? I mean, Thanksgiving turkey, is it that tasty? I don't know whether it is.
What should it be replaced with?
It could. That's my point. It could be replaced with a number of different things.
Like pizza,
right?
Thanksgiving pizza.
Well, no, I get what you're saying, Keith, and I appreciate the call, man. Thanks. I think the point that Keith is making, and I totally agree with him, is there's always the talk about the Thanksgiving turkey. The turkey is not what I'm going to the Thanksgiving table for. I want the sides. I want all that other stuff.
Of course. No, the turkey as the main course is really not the main event. The mac and cheese, the mashed potatoes, the stuffing, everything, the cornbread. That's all the main event. The turkey is a staple out of tradition.
Yeah.
That people, I think most people are in agreement on that, to be honest.
Yeah, it's more traditional. But, I mean, like, nobody's going to the Thanksgiving table saying, oh, I can't wait to get my hands on that turkey.
I do like turkey, though. Like, I'll eat it other times. Like turkey sandwiches I eat pretty frequently.
Well, yes, but if you're going to the Thanksgiving dinner...
it's not the number one. It's not at the top of anyone's list.
Yeah, you're going for all the other stuff. So I would agree, turkey, you could kind of do without it on Thanksgiving. I know it probably sounds blasphemous, but I could do without the turkey. If all the stuff I ate yesterday, there are five things that I would want to keep before the turkey, if I had to get rid of one. What's your take then, Fran? As I kind of
stutter a
little
bit. You do it turkey on Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Turkey is phenomenal. It's the best part. Well,
what's
it's
better,
like the second best part.
Turkey or stuffing?
Stuffing's horrible. Stuffing's so
bad. Oh, get out of here.
Bad. And my mom was like, oh, well, tonight, why don't you try putting gravy on it? Let's see if you like it. I tried it, like a big boy. I tried it, and
like
it still sucked.
Like a big boy. You're 29.
And it still sucked. It still sucks.
What about mashed potatoes?
Did she make sure you ate your vegetables too? Or
No, I'm not in the green beans. Can't do that. What'd you say? What was the last one you just said?
Mashed potatoes.
They're fine. With gravy. Yeah. Yeah, they're good.
By the way, do you know Fran's mom critiques my halftime reports?
I did not know this.
Yeah.
Fran's mom used to critique. I know she's an avid listener to the station. She used to critique his top fives. I didn't know she was critiquing other people's work here.
Yeah, Fran's mom was wasn't she? She was critiquing my halftime report during the game.
Yeah, because she was talking about like Jaguar car, but she was actually wrong.
She was wrong.
Yeah.
What happened?
She thought I was mispronouncing the word Jaguar.
Jaguar. Jaguar.
When you say the car, it's Jaguar.
Jaguar. It's the same word. They actually draw that distinction?
Well, no, that's the way you're supposed to say it. No, thanks for listening to the halftime reports, Buzz. You're here during these games.
I'm getting mentally prepared to produce the third quarter.
Oh, yeah. very, 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 very. I see you always mentally preparing.
That's exactly right. I'm getting in the zone, locking in.
Let's go to Ken in Cinnaminson. What's up, Ken?
Good morning, gentlemen, and let me say happy holidays to all of you.
And thank you, Ken. I appreciate it. And Ken, I got to say, I find you very intriguing after your call the other day to the afternoon show. All I'm wondering now is what you do for a living. I know you're not at liberty to say, apparently, but it was intriguing.
In 30 days, nothing, because I'm retiring at the end of the year.
Okay, so. Well, you can reveal it to us then.
listen, I'm gonna simplify this because, you know, for whatever reason, I'm not sure if other fan bases suffer from this, but for whatever reason, Eagles fans have envy of everything outside of here. So there's a whole contingent of people that think Dan Campbell's a better head coach than Nick Sirianni for no apparent reason other than the fact that he's not the head coach of the Eagles. Nick Sirianni's record as a head coach, they were both hired the same year, far superior to Dan Campbell's as a head coach. And Nick Sirianni inherited a 4-11-1 football team with a disaster at quarterback that was unfolding at the time. So here's why the Eagles are the best team, and I really do expect them to win out. They can do to the Ravens, they can do to anybody what they did to the Rams on Sunday night last week. And here's why. It's as simple as this. Fantasy football has so infected the minds of young guys who have never lived in a world before fantasy football. So they get these impressions of what's really important. What's really important in football has not changed. Philadelphia Eagles are the best team in the NFL on the line of scrimmage, on both sides of the line of scrimmage, and it's not close. It's why they won the Super Bowl in 2017, even after their starting quarterback, who was playing at an MVP level, went down. And it's why they're the best team in the NFL right now. Not only do they have the best roster, not only do they have a head coach who so infrequently loses regular season games that if he loses more than one in a row, we want to fire him around here. Not only are they the best road team in football under Nick Sirianni, which they are, but they are the best team in the NFL at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, you watch this offensive line play, and I hear people talk about, well, Detroit's offensive line might be better than Philadelphia's offensive line. That is a joke. You can watch all 31 other teams in the NFL, every snap of their offense for every game. You will not see any other team in the NFL running dual traps at the line of scrimmage. They're running traps on both sides of the center so that the running back can pick which side he wants to go through. That's Jeff Stoutman, and that's the ability of the offensive line that they have, the guys that they have up front, and that's why they can do to any team in the NFL what they did to the Rams Sunday. And I am not at all worried about the Baltimore Ravens. They're a good team, but they are not nearly as good as the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, and I agree, Ken. And this is a big part of what you're talking about here. And when you look at that offensive line, and I agree, like what they did to the Rams, I don't see any reason why they can't go to Baltimore and dominate up front. I mean, this offensive line, and the Eagles have had great offensive lines for years. This might be the best one they've had yet. It's incredible.
And that Rams front that they pushed around like they were playing a JV team, that Rams front is better than this Ravens front that they're going to play on Sunday. And that Rams front is better than the Lions front. And the Eagles' back seven, linebackers, secondary, are far superior to what the Lions put on the field. Far superior. So the Lions yesterday, look, I'm not saying the Lions aren't a good team. They're a really good team. And they've got a lot of talent. But, you know, you saw some next-level incompetence out of Matt Eberflus yesterday that every week he seems to outdo himself with the level of incompetence that he puts on display when it comes to managing the clock at the end of the game or the end of the half. And that's what saved the Lions yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to coronate the Lions and you know, let's plan the parade route through downtown Detroit because the Eagles are a better football team, and to me it's as obvious as the sunrise.
Well, I got you, Ken. What do you got that's aged well?
You know, Jennifer Aniston still looks really good, and she's like my age. So
there you go, Ken. Appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Look at what you started, Fran.
Surprised he wasn't 29.
Well, this is what I was worried
about.
These
are good answers.
Fran. This is what I was worried about when Fran, you know, says Jennifer Lopez. Good answer.
We're going to get all women.
But
yeah.
Now, I mean...
mine wasn't like egregious. Like it's not like, oh my god, look, Fran, oh, relax, dude. No, like everyone's a J-Lo. Like honestly, let's be honest. I went with the layup answer, and that's what it was.
Right, but now I feel like we're just gonna get, you know, the answers of a lot of women
the
that have aged
one
well.
Was an hour and a half later.
Yeah,
that's
try
like
that
a
stuff. Third answer though, but I mean, a good.
It was like an hour. We introduced it at 10:30.
A good answer, but nonetheless. Is Jennifer Aniston not good enough for you either, Buzz?
Not good. It has nothing to do with the not being good enough. It's just a little out of my age bracket, okay. Frankly. And out of Fran's, too, I might add.
Well, who cares? I mean, it was a good answer.
All right, fine. J-Lo.
TK is young.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm young.
37?
Yeah.
Oh.
Young. That's it.
Well, the way you said I'm 37.
Yeah.
He still tries to sell he's in his mid-30s.
Yeah, I am my mid-30s.
No, late 30s.
I'm in my mid-30s. That's late, dude.
37 is mid. 36
is mid. 37 is late.
I'm 27. I'm in my late 20s.
I'll give you mid 20s.
No, you're doing that for you.
Yeah.
You're doing that for you.
It would be the same rule either way. We're either both in our mid 20s and mid 30s or late 20s and late 30s. It can't be one for one and one not for the other.
You can call it late. I'll call it mid. How about that?
Sure. Interesting. Yeah. I imagine by the time you get to your 40s, you'll be saying that 49 is mid 40s also.
You know what? I probably will. Let's go.
By the way, I guess we're not hearing. You think Seth Joyner woke up today, heard the two of us, and said, I'm not calling these two idiots?
Yeah, maybe. Yet. I don't know. We'll see if we're joined by Seth here. I think he probably heard you calling Sunday an acceptable loss.
He threw the phone
thought,
into the wall.
Who is this?
Are you soft like Dan?
That's exactly right. Jolly would call me soft. I might do this in the crossover with him tomorrow night.
I just hate this term. Acceptable loss.
I know. I was all ready to run it by him, and now he's ducking the call.
Because I know Elliot trotted it out a few weeks ago for the Cincinnati game, and then the Eagles win the game. It's like, no, it wouldn't have been an acceptable loss.
No, the Bengals, that was not an acceptable loss spot. Were there actually like 3-point underdogs against the Ravens, a team as good as them, with an MVP candidate, a quarterback, and top five coach? Yeah, that's more of an acceptable loss spot.
This is the thing, though. I don't think the Ravens are as good as the Eagles. And I think Ken made a good point. We underrate the Eagles' front. Like, that offensive line is such a difference maker for a team. And it's why they're as dominant as they are. Like, Saquon's been incredible, absolutely. And Saquon deserves to be in the MVP conversation. Saquon wasn't doing this in New York last year.
No, this is the best year of his career. This is the best season by a running back we've seen in quite some time. I mean, in my lifetime, like that one Todd Gurley season, I think it was 2018, was unbelievable. Adrian Peterson and I think Chris Johnson both had MVP-type years, but it's really been few and far. Marshall Faulk, obviously, in the early 2000s. But that's the type of level of play we're seeing from Saquon Barkley, because again, it's been more than a decade that a running back has won the MVP. For him to be this much in the consideration this late in the year speaks volumes to just how good he is, how good the team is.
Yeah, and the offensive line, I think, is a massive difference maker when you look at this team, and a big reason why I think they're going to beat the Ravens and why I think they would beat the Lions regardless where we played an NFC Championship game. Let's go to our buddy Bam in Upper Darby. What's happening, Bam? Bam. Come on, Bam.
Hello, Bam.
Hello.
Bam.
Oh, Bam, there he is. Bam, what's going on? You're hanging out with Rob tonight?
Yeah, I'm hanging out with Rob tonight. All class reunion.
What reunion?
Class reunion.
Yeah, elementary school class reunion.
elementary school class reunion?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. Hey, Dan, remember the other night I said to you, why do I have to wash my hands?
What? I said, why do you have to wash your hands?
Yeah. Remember I told you I said, wash your hands after you use the studio?
Okay, yeah, why'd you say that?
Because Jack Fritz, on Monday, I was listening, tuning into the afternoon show. Jack Fritz apparently doesn't wash his hands after using the bathroom.
Oh, that's a chickie. So he's contaminating down. Yeah.
Doesn't wash his hands?
Yes. Spike caught him. Number one, he went to the bathroom and then he went back.
No excuse.
He did not wash his hands.
No excuse. I mean, you gotta wash your hands every time you go to the bathroom. I make my 3-year old washes his hands every time he goes to the bathroom.
Well, that's good parenting.
Yeah. Come on, Jack.
Yep.
What do you got, Bam?
All right, so I think it's going to be a tight game on Sunday. It's going to be a real, real tight game, and I think we're going to sack Lamar like 3 times. Lamar's going to get sacked 3 times, man.
Who's getting these sacks? Brandon Graham's out.
What's his name? Jalex Hunt.
Jalen Carter, Milton Williams. There's a lot of depth on that.
Big Jalex Hunt spot. How do we feel about Jalex Hunt the rest of the way here? Do we think he steps in and they just don't miss a beat?
Yeah, he's gonna show Lamar who's big pimping.
Well, there you go, Bam. What do you got for our side topic today?
I want to go. We're gonna keep it with Thanksgiving. Food wise, I have two: a food one and a J-Lo type thing. But the food one is gonna be cheese.
And, cheese?
Yeah, cheese.
Okay, some and, cheese age as well.
Yeah, and the celebrity, I want to say, Heather Locklear.
Okay, Heather Locklear.
I told Fran, I said, I'm sending y'all pizza.
Oh,
send us a pizza.
Bam. Yeah. You don't need to do it, but appreciate it.
But you're not going to stop him if he does.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Bam's the best. And Bam
ordered, sent us pizza before.
Right, because I was whining on the air because I, and this is my fault, like if you missed it that night when I was on, it was Friday night. Now, we have a situation at the station where every Friday at 5 o'clock, the fridge gets cleaned out. And there's a huge sign on the fridge that says, at 5 p.m. on Friday, this will be cleaned out. I come in at 4:45, put my dinner in the fridge, gets thrown out. I'm crying on the air about how hungry I am. Call myself an idiot, not blaming yes. anybody else. But Bam sends over a pizza. What a guy
what
he
a
is.
Stand-up guy Bam is. Yeah,
the only person in Delco that likes me.
That's pretty
I
much.
I like you.
All right, we're up to two.
You always say how much you don't like me.
That's because I love you. If okay. I say I don't like you, it's because I like you.
By okay. the way, Mike and I, Angelina and I, were texting. So they put up a sign this week, obviously short week with Thanksgiving. They put one up that they were going to clear out the fridge on Wednesday at 5.
Uh-huh.
So we were taking bets because you were obviously here for your 6 o'clock show and the halftime report for Turkey Bowl on Wednesday.
Yep.
And we were taking bets whether you'd bring in an early Thanksgiving Eve dinner and have it taken out of the fridge with the new altered schedule of Wednesday.
Oh, I thought about that. I didn't put my food in the fridge for that reason.
Oh, that's a good way to make the adjustment.
Yep.
Good job.
Yep, I've adjusted, and I'm growing in that sense. Maybe not physically.
No, in the other,
sense. I gotcha.
By the way, Heather Locklear, not bad answer.
Yeah, no, yeah. not a bad answer. Look at where you started.
I said bad answer. No, not a good answer. I love Ben.
We're not going to get into that. What?
Fran's got some weird
taste.
You don't
think Heather Locklear's aged well?
Not a fan.
Okay.